We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante, along with Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Last week, we finished up our series with Bob's top 25 players for the 2020 season. We're going to start a new series this week. But before we do, I want to announce our winner from Ask Ross. That was Mark from Lancaster. So, Mark, I'll be reaching out to you. And, Andy, you weren't here last week. Do you know I forgot to name the winner last week?
Shocking. Yeah. Why am I not surprised? So this is me sitting in the Ross chair. Like, oh, Jim forgot to announce the winner. Shocking.
What I didn't tell you is when I did the Ask Ross segment this week, I announced the winner talking to Ross, and I blamed you for the problem. I don't know how, but somehow it was your fault. Just following.
Why do I somehow think when you blame me, Ross was like right on board? Like, yep, we're shopping in the same aisle at Walmart, Jim. I'm good with that. Let's blame it on Andy.
Oh, my God, yes. All right.
Just guessing.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's get our new series started. Often the most forgotten players are those guys who redshirted. We're always looking at the new freshmen, and we're forgetting about the redshirt guys. There's 15 of them. What we're going to do is we're going to go pretty much in order by position. And today we've got the defensive backs that we're going to look at, and that's Joey Porter Jr., Daquan Hardy, and Tyler Rudolph. So what we're going to do is we'll go back and forth between the guys, get their comments, and then when we're done with this series, we're going to take the list, and then we're going to rank them. All right. So, Bob, I want to start with you, and on the top of my list is Joey Porter Jr. He's a four-star cornerback, and it seems like besides great bloodlines, the most outstanding feature is he's pretty tall for a cornerback at 6'2". What do you think of Joey Porter?
I think Penn State really, really likes Joey Porter. Looking at him as he enters his redshirt freshman year, he looks like he's gotten a little bit heavier. I think he came to Penn State at about 180, 6'2", long arms, maybe the longest wingspan of the cornerback room. He's up to 192 now. Certainly looks like a corner who can play. He can run. You mentioned he's the son of Joey Porter, that nasty ex-Steeler who I think a lot of Steeler fans really like. This is a guy that fits Penn State's quote unquote projections in terms of, physical measurements. They like length. They like speed. Joey Porter was highly regarded by the coaching staff last year. I think they really thought about playing him more than four games, and they didn't. I think that they're glad they didn't. They were able to get through without burning his red shirt. His teammates also said he's got a lot of potential. He's a guy that just some of Penn State's better corners that have been long. They took a couple of years to develop. Amani Aruare is one. If you look at him in the NFL, the Lions really like him. The last 2 years at Penn State, he was really good, but he took a couple of years and he took his lumps early. Same for Christian Campbell, who they played as a true freshman. Similar body type with Joey Porter. I think when all is said and done in this class, and this is a foreshadowing for when we rank these guys, I think he's going to be higher on the redshirt freshman ranking list, on at least on mine, than maybe on yours. I think he's going to be a good player. I would also note, I think Penn State felt comfortable moving Trent Gordon to safety, where that's really more of a need, because I think they felt good about Porter. I think they also feel really good about Marquise Wilson and Keaton Ellis, who both played, and I think they're going to be the top two contenders, I think, to start opposite Tariq. But I think when you think about Joey Porter, he's being groomed to be at the very least the fourth corner this year, and I think his upside, maybe of all three of the guys I mentioned, Keaton Ellis, Marquise Wilson, and Porter, he might have the biggest upside. He's a little bit raw, but if he can play to his measurables, which Penn State really likes, I think he's going to be a starting corner in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think he's got I agree with you, Bob. He's got the highest ceiling in my eyes to be a stick pointer. You know what I mean? Like that guy that sticks because of his measurables. I think there's two other freshmen in this class that are part of the rotation, but I think he's the fourth corner. I think he's a guy that in 2020, you would expect him to be playing, you know, 35-40% of the snaps the way Penn State rotates its corners. And if it's anything other than that going into 2000 or in 2020, then he didn't develop or something happened to him, because everything is right there. Everything tells you that he is going to make a contribution and potentially, did I say potentially?
He did. Potentially, he did.
Potentially, I think he's going to make a big contribution just because I think his ceiling is higher than the other two guys who played as freshmen last year.
And you know what? When you label a guy as the fourth cornerback, the way they rotate players, like you pointed out, Andy, that would mean he's going to play quite a bit. All right. Next up on the list is Daquan Hardy. He's also from the Pittsburgh area. He's was a three-star recruit, signed rather late, I believe, with Penn State. He's very different than Joey Porter in his build. He's only 5'9", 170, but I seem to recall he played very well in the state playoffs, made quite an impression there. I'm going to start with you, Andy. How do you see Daquan Hardy's career playing out?
Yeah, I think he's as because of his size, right? Not because he is small, but because of his size a little bit, relatively speaking, and three young other corners emerging. I think at that position, when you're talking about Daquan as a corner, I think he's developmentally a little bit behind the other guys, and he's still a project in work as a corner. But I don't think he's lost in the shuffle. I just think you don't want to see him a lot at corner in 2020 because they have four guys that are clearly ahead of him. I think he's a lightning rod. Right. I think he's an energetic, upbeat kind of kid who, with the ball in his hands, can do some pretty crazy stuff. I don't know. Would you like to see him as a kick returner, Bob? I'd like to see him get a crack at it. I'd like to see him, you know, see if he can catch the ball safely and do all those things that, you know, by the way, that's one of the things I think Penn State puts a premium on, is being safe with handling the ball before they'll put somebody out there who's got, you know, speed and lightning. They want you handling the ball safely and being a solid kick returning catcher. But I'd like to see him as a kick returner. I don't think I'd like to see him playing corner this year.
Yeah, I think Penn State knew what they were doing when they took him. I know they took him late in the class. They went, the more they watched him on tape, the more they liked. I think he's a football player. I don't know that I would judge what he can do based upon his size. And Penn State is very good at finding roles for players who are football players. He projects long term as a guy that could help as a slot corner for sure. I'm with you. It won't be this year, but his impact, I think he might have been on the scout team. He might have been their best special teams player last year. He's obviously under consideration, I think, as a returner, but I also think Penn State values very much the role of punt coverage gunner. And if you look at what they did with Drew Hartlob, I don't know, Aisha, I think I'm catching whatever you're putting out there in terms of pronunciation, but he's about the size of Drew Hartlob. And if you look at how valuable he was to the team last year on special teams and as a coverage gunner, I think he could see Daquan Hardy not only impact the game as a return man, but also on special teams, maybe in a role like that. He's up to, I think he was 160 when he got here. He's up to 170. I think maybe by the time he leaves, he'll be maybe 180 if he wants to stay for 4 or 5 years. But there's nothing, if nothing else, if he becomes a fantastic special teams player for Penn State, it was a scholarship well spent by James Franklin and his coaches.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Bob. If a guy comes in and can contribute like that on special teams, it's definitely worth it. That's a valuable asset to have. So hopefully we'll get to see that from Daquan Hardy. All right, we have one more, and this is Tyler Rudolph. He is actually at the safety position, a four-star out of Connecticut, 6'2", 207. And for a four-star recruit, he seems to get forgotten quite a bit. And he's not the first name that you think of. What are your thoughts on him, Bob?
Yeah, I wanna love Tyler Rudolph just based upon the measurables. I know the coaches speak highly of him. You know, he didn't get a lot of big-time offers other than Penn State. He's got great size at 6'1", 205. My problem is I'm not ready to trust James Franklin when it comes to safety recruits. Too many times they've had to move other players from other positions to safety because the safeties they've recruited haven't panned out. Now, I'm not trying to judge Tyler, and maybe he's different, but the numbers say Penn State has not been very good at identifying future safeties. I hope he is the exception to the rule. I think he's got the speed and the size to play, but a lot of safeties have been slow to develop at Penn State, and it's forced them to move players from other positions, just like Trent Gordon. It seems like every year they're doing it. I'm a little bit hesitant to really give him a thumbs up until I see more of him. The fact that he played at Connecticut, as you know, Ross Tucker likes to talk about hedge fund football. We're just going to have to wait and see. They definitely have a need for more safeties, more quality safeties in 2020, and I'm sure he can help on special teams. I think the jury is very much out on Tyler.
Yeah, here's the thing about the safety position under James Franklin. They've done a significantly better job of developing non-safeties as safeties than they have at recruiting safeties to play safety at Penn State. Is that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what the safety position is to me. I mean, and even look at it now, Lamont Wade, okay, he's an athlete and a football player, as you said, but he's a converted corner right now playing safety. Jaquan Brisker is a talented guy, but he was a junior college. They had to go in. They got in from as a junior college guy. So there's two other examples of guys that are high on the depth chart at that position right now that they had to go and create something or get them from somewhere else. So, I mean, I think they've got four guys in the mix right now that are ahead of Rudolph. I don't think that says anything about Tyler Rudolph. It says more about the struggles that they've had developing guys at the position. It'd be nice to see one. Maybe this guy's it. I don't know about the quality of football up there. I still think if Tyler Rudolph's playing consistent snaps at safety in 2020, you might have a problem. And that doesn't mean that has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with the four guys that have played more and are in front of him.
All right, that'll have to be the final word for our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you stay safe, stay inside, practice social distancing, and we will see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.